Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Welcome to the Woodbird Theater. We now present Off Book.
Off Book. The improvised musical podcast with Zach and Jess.
A 5, 6, 7, 8. A watermelon salad. Off of the improvised musical with Zach and Jess and the fam band, and the end of a sound check that we were like, well, let's just do the end of that one again. Now that the cameras are rolling, this is Off of the improvised musical with Zach and Jess. That one is Jessica McKenna.
That one is Zach Reno. We got Scott Passarella, King Pianist, Pianist of Kings.
Mm-hmm. We got Brett Morris, that feeling when the chord hits. Give me more, please.
We got Dana Wickens on the Stickens, the boom from the other room.
We got Omi, and that's why there's no guest here again.
Omi.
Let me clarify. We don't got Omi.
We don't got Omi.
The greater Los Angeles county has Omi.
Yeah. And also, that was just a riff on a very refreshing summertime side dish of a watermelon salad.
I love watermelon salad.
Have you had it?
Oh, yeah.
Great.
Put some mint in there.
Yeah, some mint and some feta and some red onions.
Some radish. Oh, yeah. I don't mind an heirloom tomato in there, if I'm being honest.
I have no idea. I was like, oh, yeah, it comes with cantaloupe and honeydew, watermelon salad.
Yeah.
Oh, you're talking about a
that you don't F with this, because you don't ever mix brie and pear, right? Or brie and apple?
There was something where you crossed the line. Turkey
and brie.
Jessica brought up some extremely basic combination of foods, and Scott's mind melted.
Three is too many.
I know.
Yeah. Don't mix brie, turkey, and honey mustard.
Peanut butter and bread, jelly and bread. Peanut butter and jelly and bread. No.
So look, dear listener, this is sometimes a show where we make up a narrative musical. And today we don't want to do that. So yeah. Today it's a show, it's a fan band episode where we just chat with a band and we break into songs, and we're going to answer some of your questions that you sent for our last Q&A episode that we maybe didn't get to that we have here now. Okay, now back to your fun band.
Well,
I just wanted to set the table.
No, I think it's helpful to set the table, and I'm just going to circle back around this table. Dana, have you had a watermelon salad?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, great. Just wanted to check.
Was there ever any doubt?
One time, Morgan and I made watermelon salad for some barbecue type thing on his side of the family, and someone was like, why would you ruin perfectly good watermelon? And I was like, why don't you give it a try first?
What? As if the only way to eat watermelon is by itself? You know what I do like, though? Ripping into a big chunk of watermelon like you're a dinosaur. Sure. I feel like I've surely said that on this podcast before. It's one of my
dinosaurs
top two held
eat
opinions.
Watermelon?
No, but it's like, it is when a human bites into a big chunk of watermelon.
Right.
As if a Tyrannosaurus was ripping into a Stegosaurus.
Right.
Or a less plated dinosaur.
Yeah. Ooh, yeah.
Because you can really just like you could hump on like a whole melon.
I could, if like, weapon to my head, I could hump a full, no question. Weapon not to my head, I could hump a full
melon.
Yeah,
I just mean like it's a lot of water.
It's a lot of water.
I mean, it's a lot of sugar, like, hence. And you're going to feel some impact of that, but you could hump a whole lot.
Is I'm going to feel great and run around for a long time. I'd be hydrated.
Super hydrated. Did a question spark your fancy?
Yeah, Brett, pick one. Which one do you like?
All right, let's see here.
Watermelon salad. Brett's reading a Google sheet. Yeah, yeah. Thank you, Sean Matthew Leary.
Thank you, Sean Matthew Leary, for putting all these questions together.
Put them into a spreadsheet. Whoa.
Oh, you know what?
Spreadsheet.
Someone asked us, I think it was V Parallax, and I forget on what, but they asked us, since many of the sleepy babies are having babies of their own, if we could make a lullaby.
Sure.
So I would suggest that maybe we end with that today.
Okay. I like that. Listen till the end.
And you'll get the lullaby.
Don't dash away early.
All right.
I'm just warning them.
Yeah, don't do it. They're all perfect, Brett. All the questions are equally perfect.
If someone presented you a meal made from ghosts, would you eat it? And would you worry about being haunted?
What the hell? What?
One more time.
You just said they were all good.
Yeah,
they are.
I do. But
made from ghosts or made by ghosts?
No, from, right?
Made from ghosts.
Read it again, all the way.
If someone presented you a meal made from ghosts, would you eat it? And would you worry about being haunted?
This is
from Bobby Garza.
On the Facebook group.
100% wouldn't eat it.
Bobby, that's a twisted question, my dude.
And I would 100% absolutely be afraid I'd be haunted, because I am afraid of being haunted and like spirits like attaching to me or like any kind of like demonic possession. That's like my number one fear.
So you said what you said would not eat it.
Would not eat it. If I was like force fed it, then I would definitely be afraid I'd be haunted.
If we're talking about like, you know, human soul ghosts.
Sure.
Why are we eating any part of a human being is my first question,
great.
I guess.
Great.
Yeah.
Ghost or no?
Yeah. I think I'm wondering if like the question behind the question is like the ghost, it's from the ghost. The ghosts have made the meal for you.
That's how I read it.
In which case, like not made of ghostly matter.
Made from, if a ghost
the
made
ghost
me, yeah,
chef.
Yeah, 100% I'm eating a
but
meal.
But I'm
going to
say
chef.
Either way, my answer is no. I'm with Dana. I don't F with that noise.
You guys, if a ghost is making you a meal, it's almost certainly they're unfinished. Scott, Scott, that's
no, we've moved past
that.
Scott, there's a binary. We can either read of it's made of ghostly matter or it's a gift from ghosts. It's not from ghosts and also ghostly matter.
Listen, can we all agree? We're not going to eat the male eel. We're not going to eat the meal made from ghostly matter. That's ghost cannibalism.
Yes.
But the other one is very important. Listen. If a ghost hands you a dish in the dead of the night, you must eat that ghost dish, and here is why. Doesn't matter if it's good or not, if it's terrible or delish, that dish might be the unfinished business. If a ghost cooks you a meal from his heart and his soul, whether it's pasta fettuccine or chicken mole,
not be slow, you must eat it quick, because that dish might be its unfinished business. So that ghost can say sayonara. Whether it's a pike, a sole, or some other variety of fish, that dish might be its unfinished business.
Delish. Ooh.
Ooh, delish.
Ooh, delicious dish. Delish this dish.
Delish this.
Hey, you guys get some of that delish this dish? You know, when you have gossip but it's boring, so you make it more delish.
Oh, delish this dish.
Yeah, delish this dish. Oh, so
oh my gosh,
I heard.
You know who I saw kissing someone
who?
Covered in cinnamon?
Who?
Sandy and Randy.
Oh, Sandy and Randy.
And they were covered in just cinnamon.
Oh my gosh, that dish of Sandy and Randy kissing, that's just some dish. But you add the cinnamon, and now it's delish. Way to delish this dish.
This is the segment where we take gossip that's too boring and then we imagine what if there was actual things that made the physical gossip more tasty.
Welcome back to Delish
this dish. Oh my God.
Okay, so here's what I saw.
Okay.
Okay, I saw last week.
Mm-hmm.
Principal Skylark.
Okay. Yep. Principal Genevia Skylark.
Principal Genevia Skylark
Good.
Was at the grocery store.
Wow.
And she totally.
First of all, it's so weird to see someone
so
outside
weird
of the
to
context
see him outside of
school.
But they were picking up a pair of pears and then squeezed the pears and then dropped a pear back, even after they squozed it. But imagine that covered in turmeric.
Delicious. You delicious dish. Oh my God.
What?
You know the bridge being built over 4th Street?
Dish.
The one that was built by protege contractors?
Dish.
I heard they only got that contract in the first place because Janet Protege's father is a corrupt businessman who holds the mayor in her pocket.
Dish.
And also the bridge has cinnamon on it.
Delish this dish.
Oh my God.
Like, okay.
I have like crazy gossip.
Oh my God. Dish.
So you know Kelly, who's like the captain of like the cheerleading team.
Captain dish. Kelly. Yeah.
Dish. Captain Kelly. Well, like when she was putting on her skirt
dish
for the football game,
dish.
She actually made it a little bit lower. So like you couldn't see her knees.
Dish.
Dana, you have to finish it.
And
Dana, you have to put some sort of food.
Oh, right.
The
yes. And and when she was pulling it down to more conservative,
right?
Dish,
elongating the skirt.
Elongating the skirt. She slipped on a banana peel.
Delicious dish.
I knew you could do it.
I thought somebody was gonna jump in and make it.
You thought? Why would we do that?
You had it.
You did a great job.
I thought it was like a tag team situation.
You thought improv was team sports where we all support each other. Well, we did.
By saying dish and believing in you.
And by believing in you.
Brett.
Oh.
Well, I'm going to have to do this too. This game you've all just invented.
You know the postman?
Yeah, dish.
Yeah. Clark?
Dish.
Whoa. Okay. Okay, names. All right. Yeah.
Right. Postman Clark.
Yeah, Postman Clark. Dish.
I heard.
Dish.
He saw.
Dish.
A flying saucer the other day.
Dish.
On that flying saucer.
Dish.
with a hot cup of cocoa.
Delicious dish!
Whoa, Brett, really good double use of saucer. Very evocative as a word.
I didn't even think about that. Have you ever been to high tea?
Yeah.
How is
love it?
Lovely.
So
yeah?
Good.
Yeah.
It's the best meal. It gives you a little of everything and you're not full and tired afterwards. Yeah.
Why is it high tea?
I don't know.
High noon is because like the sun's right up there.
Yeah,
right?
Typically tea time is 2.
Right.
I think when you drink tea like 5 meals a day, you have to start distinguishing which one's the one you get food with.
There's not enough descriptions of the other we know about high tea.
Yeah.
What about the other teas?
The regular teas?
Low tea.
Low tea. Mid tea.
Low tea is when low tea is when you're a beta male. Then you don't.
I have the answer if anybody cares.
Yeah.
Okay, so it says the British tradition of high tea began in the mid-1700s as an afternoon meal usually served between 3 and 4 o'clock. Initially, it was a meal for the working man taken standing up or sitting on tall stools.
Yo!
Thus, high.
This one goes out. This one goes out for the working man. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I want what I want. I won't stop. I want a drink that's incredibly hot. But you know that I am a working man. When I drink that tea, I've got to stand.
Oh, I hear the ring ding at the factory line. Oh yeah, that ding, yo, it's about time. Oh, it's between 3 and 4. Gonna have a little tea, gonna have a little more. Give me that tiny sandwich, yeah. I want it between some cucumber and bread. Little bit of mayo and a little bit of dill. Not too much, don't wanna eat my fill.
That high tea, that high tea. Ooh, my, ooh, me. Give me that high tea, that high tea.
Yo, I spend my day just breaking up rocks or maybe moving barrels down by the docks. I'm a working man, I'm working hard all day. I'm also hard in the way that I play. I go hard with my Darjeeling. Put that tea in my mouth, my wrist is reeling. What now? I'll make you flip by the way my pinky goes up when I take a sip.
Oh, I'm looking at you, I say, girl, hey. As I'm drinking on some
Earl Grey.
I know I always put the milk in first. To do it second, yo, that is the worst. Oh, wait, flip it, yeah, that reversed. I'll go, yo, tell me, take me, take out a piece. I gotta let it in the hot water steep. Oh yeah, gotta drink the teal drool.
Bitch, you know I fuck with a cucumber sandwich. Make it small, yeah, yeah. Make it very small, it won't fill me up at all.
Yeah, but no, make no mistake, I'm coming up on that tiny ass cake. Tiny little cake and it's cut in a square, and it's covered in fondant if you dare.
Yeah, and you know that I learned this from the importance of being so earnest. Yeah, wow, you're like, damn, he walked a mile. He's gonna wanna sip on that chamomile.
Oh yeah, don't leave me alone, because I'm about to put the cream on the scone. That cottage cream, it's a dream. That's the right way to have some tea.
Up, motherfucker.
Pinkies up, saucers down.
That's right. That's the way we like to
tea. Unfortunately, that's the best song we've ever done.
Yeah. I hate that that does happen every time we do fan band.
That That was fun.
I was talking. Yeah, for me too.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Earl Grey. I love to shout Earl Grey when I know you're going to shout Earl Grey. Yeah. Scott and I were talking right before we started the recording. About
so you guys hang out without us.
Okay. Yeah, when we're waiting for people to show up. Yeah, we don't sit in silence. Scott, have we ever just hung out?
I have never hung out with you when I do. No, time I think I came to a party for your birthday, but I don't think I've ever just hung out with you.
Yeah.
No, without a purpose, we have never personally hung out. Long overdue.
Way to start driving a knife between me and my good friend Scott.
Wow.
Wow.
I don't think I asked that. Yeah,
Jess. Wow. Way to do. Jess started it. Wow. Weird that Jess would want to bring that energy in.
I think the only two people in this room who have hung out, the two of them, without
outside of a work thing,
is Brett and Dana.
Brett and Dana. Yeah.
You'd be wrong.
Because relationships don't hang out.
And we don't. You're stupid.
Does anyone hang out anymore? I feel like...
Yeah, dog.
I don't know.
Yeah, you're not hanging out?
I'm not hanging out enough.
I'm not currently really hanging out.
I definitely feel like conflicted because I feel like I love to hang out. And then obviously pandemic has been very difficult to make.
Sure.
Like to, you know.
Yeah, the only people I'm seeing are like my hashtag tennis boys.
Yeah, but you're hanging out. Yeah.
That's hanging out.
You got to find that. You can find those hangs, those safe hangs. What were you talking about with Scott? I'm sorry.
Oh, we were just talking about how rap... Specifically, I feel like Dr. Dre went through an era of his production that I can only describe as haunted carnival.
Sure.
And like, that is the end of it.
Good.
Cool. It was a really good talk.
It was a good talk. It was a good talk.
Cool.
Between friends who could hang out, even though they maybe haven't.
Yeah. Well, we talk about it all the time. We do hang out, but because we hang out constantly.
When are we going to hang out additionally? It would be wild for like.
You don't hang out additionally when you hang out constantly.
Right. Like we're seeing each other 6 to 7 days out of the week.
Yeah.
If we were like, hey, on that seventh day, you know what would be great? Let's get together and do literally anything. You're like, why?
And on the seventh day, we said, get out of here.
That would be like, and God made the world in 6 days. On the seventh day, he just like was like, let's more make the world, I guess.
Yeah.
Like, why did you differentiate that?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
What is the order of things
that he made?
Is it, I mean, I know it's in there. Genesis is like, okay, light, which by the way, feel like if you're not shining on anything, do you even see it?
Whoa.
Right. Like in a void, what is light?
The absence.
Do you guys
of the
watch
void?
The Expanse?
Okay. This is the section called what you watching. Hey, what you watching?
I'm watching The Expanse. I'm into The Expanse. I'm deep in The Expanse.
What is The Expanse?
The Expanse is...
Like, what was it on? It doesn't air anymore, right? It's like an old...
I think it just finished. It's Amazon Prime.
Okay.
Now. I don't know where it aired originally. It might have always been Amazon Prime.
I think
Prime.
It was
I'm
always
sure.
Amazon Prime.
Okay.
Well, great job, Amazon Prime. Because after season one of this show, every three episodes, they do something that on every other show would be like... a series finale. It is wild at which the pace of this show moves. That's also just very cool. It's a space show where they're in space.
Okay. Would I be scared?
No.
Too many aliens?
There's only one sort of alien collective, and I don't think you'd be scared of it.
Cool. Scott, what you watching?
I'm rewatching Samurai Jack because I can have it on around my daughter.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
Good, fine, excellent
back
watch.
Back to the past, Samurai Jack.
Gotta get back.
Cool. Yeah. Brett, what you watching?
We are watching
so you do hang
Dexter
out.
In separate rooms.
In separate beds.
You keep open a chat that says, I'm still watching Dexter. Are you? Yeah.
I have paused Dexter.
See you tomorrow.
I have paused Dexter to open snacks.
I'm starting theme song now.
No.
Watching Dexter because I never saw it ever.
I never watched Dexter either.
I really watched seasons 1 through 4 and then was told to never watch any season after that because it like gets not as good. But
I love a hot tip that from a fan that like loves a show though. And they're like, hey, if you want to have the pristine experience of this show, here's when you stop.
Yeah, I actually felt like I had a really good like that. I love that series, you know, but I'm actually down to watch all of it because then we want to watch the new like version where he's in the snow.
yeah
versus Miami
first blood or new blood or what is it
yeah
yeah, yeah. Something like that.
I was surprised though in the first season, they referenced podcasts in the first season.
Damn.
Which we like 2006.
Wow.
That was weird.
Early podcast.
Very early.
Yeah. Now if someone mentions a podcast, it's like, oh, great.
But you and everyone we know.
In 2006?
Yeah.
Way ahead of the curve.
I was telling the group before we started recording, apologies, we do sometimes chat before recording. I know. that I watched the first two episodes of Yellowjackets 2 days ago, gave me terrible nightmares, didn't know what to do for a day, and then decided that the best way to move forward was to close the loop as fast as possible. So I have done nothing today except since about 7:50 a.m., watch yes. Yellow Jackets.
You sent me your Wordle results, and then you dove in.
I was already watching.
By the way, 2 out of 6.
Thank you.
Great job.
Thank you.
Sometimes you just got to do that, you know?
Yeah.
They were telling me a story, and the story had a twist. And I thought to myself, am I really up for this? Let me try to put it behind me, turn it into my past. But wait, what if instead I watch this incredibly fast? Why don't I close the loop? Close it up, that's what I'll do.
Why don't you
close the loop? Close it up, close it up.
Show weasels in your mind. It takes all of your moments, every second of your spare time. And you just gotta get it out. You've got other things to say, and if you don't burn through it like Rome burned, you'll never get back to your.
It won't stick.
We had to close the loop.
Close it up.
We'll be right back after this.
We'll close this loop real quick.
Real quick, finish a whole episode of Yellowjackets real quick.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Ooh. Welcome back. Oh, okay.
Ha, ha. You hear that?
I think I do.
Sometimes a little bass is like a little frog. You hear him go, wop, 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 wow. You hear him go, wop, 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 wow.
Sometimes you think that your bass is actually sitting on a log. Wop, wop, wop,
wop, wop, wop, wow.
Wop, wop,
wop, wop, wop, wow. And here's a little piece of information that you might not know. But that is not true, no. Every bass is a frog. Every bass is a bass. Every bass is a frog. Every frog is a bass.
Ooh, you see him in the swamp and they, oh, you think that I'm a liar.
Fact for your ears, when you listen to a sweet guitar, what do you hear? Well, it looks like a frog, but oh no, no, it isn't a frog, it is some kind of guitar. Toads are guitars, every guitar is a toad, every toad's a guitar.
And
is a triangle. Ain't that cute?
Every drum is a lizard. Every lizard is a drum.
And if you think that these facts are ever gonna stop, look out, because here they come. Every bass frog is a... Oh my god. That's right. Every bass is a frog.
and every lizard's a drug.
Oh, this swamp is fun.
Yeah, play it.
Whole time we've been hanging out with these animals.
I know. Brett just slapping on a toad the whole time.
Slapping on a toad when he's not riding Rainbow Road. Nothing conjures anxiety in me like Rainbow Road.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, those sides. They're so slippery.
It's great. I love it. In case what Brett is doing isn't already impressive enough, and Dana and Scott, but only Brett stopped mid-song to fix a video error.
Yes.
Kudos. You're all impressive.
Kudos to all. It should be noted. There was also a video adjustment on Brett's part.
It is true.
Okay, what's your favorite Mario Kart course, though?
Ooh.
To say, God. Mine is Moo Moo Farm.
I like Moo Moo Farm. I like the one that ski one that doesn't repeat.
Oh.
Are you talking Double Dash?
I don't
Or 64?
Oh, Switch. But I think it's also on 60. A version might be on an earlier
Switch.
Game.
The newest one.
So there's no
Mario
laps.
Kart 8.
It's just one.
It's just
go?
One, like a big slalom.
Ooh.
I wish I knew what that one was.
I don't know that one.
Well, sorry, y'all. I also like the turnpike one, and I like the airport one. I like that jump up into the plane.
Mm. Yes.
I love the Mario Kart 64 beach one.
Yeah.
Because there's that little shortcut.
If you go over the rock,
you know you win.
But if you beef it and you hit that rock.
Oh, no. It's a risk
over,
every
man.
Time.
Yeah.
I was also going to say the beach one.
Rainbow Road in 64 has a part where at the very beginning, if you jump off over the side, you can land on a much longer part of the course.
Ooh.
Much later on. Ooh. You're not supposed to do it that way.
Yeah, it really is panic inducing for me.
Scott, do you know the Rainbow Road theme?
No. Oh, no. I barely know the game. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's fine.
You weren't carting, man?
I was. My friends were carting, and I went over to my friend's house and watched them cart three times, and I played once, and it was very fun, and I intend to one day play Mario Kart again someday.
Oh, it's so good.
Yeah. Your child will be ready for Mario Kart soon.
Yeah, you want anything up to, like, Mario 3 music? I can knock that out. Beyond that, Mario left my world. I'm sorry.
That's fine.
That's okay.
The thing about Mario now is that he travels all over the galaxy and all over the world and makes lots of new friends along the way.
Brett,
what just happened?
I was just amused by Brett's face. Like, he gave a smile. Like, I don't know.
I don't know about this Mario guy.
I don't know about, like, are we gonna do a whole Mario song right now?
We don't need to.
Are we jumping right back in? You know, that was the vibe I was getting.
Oh, for sure. Let's just chill. It's a fan band episode.
I'm fine with singing about Mario, chilling. But you know, hey, is there another question, Brett? You could find.
That'd be great.
Yes. Let's see. This was funny. Do you do anything to practice for improvising musicals?
Mm-hmm. We do a bunch of improvised musicals.
We do years of them. I'm sorry that I have a simple answer of no.
Yeah, not really. No. Not anymore.
Listen to musicals is the only thing I would count as prep.
That's what I was going to say, is that there's, like, tropes to me, like, just being, like, a musical fan. You hear a lot of, like... I don't know, fills or like build up. There's like certain things.
Yeah, you can't know you're in the middle of a One Day More if you don't know what a One Day More is.
Right.
I mean, Brett never knows.
Except
when
he's for Brett. Brett doesn't know anything. And he's still like, I guess we're doing this.
Oh, God. And then I have to run the score through Sibelius every week before I hand it to you guys.
You guys do a lot of writing, a lot of prep work so that we can show up and pretend to improvise these on the spot.
Yeah.
I'd say my ears are much more tuned now to just musically, like, what, like, certain I don't want to say tropes, but like
I was going to ask
chord patterns.
What do you
stuff.
Find is like, can you speak a little bit to more the musical difference between like, I guess, musical theater and what you would do in like Man.
Oh man. Well,
or any sort of like band.
Actually, interestingly, this similarity there is that they are not guitar forward forms of music necessarily.
Okay.
So part of the difficulty level in Man and in musicals.
I'm sorry. Are we all hearing the radio station now?
There's like a light scoring yeah. coming
and
into
like the
radio.
And it was
beautiful.
So here's the thing about radio waves. They're sort of just out there, y'all.
Yeah.
And sometimes they sneak into your head.
So all these like cables and connections.
It's so while Brett was talking about his musical experience, the rest of us were hearing underneath it.
It was really
cutting
nice.
Me off like the Oscars.
Wrap it up. Thank you, Brett. Thank you for giving your information.
Okay, great.
Oh, to be the composer of the most of a beautiful piece of music that is just sign off, just getting someone out of there.
They change it though, don't they? It's like often it's a song that is like related to the person, which is was always struck me as being so cool.
Yeah.
To hear an orchestra do like the orchestra version of whatever the heck it is you're up there for.
Get out of here though.
Get out
of here though. But you gotta leave.
You gotta leave. Da na 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 na.
There's gotta be. There aren't words to the sign-off song until now.
Until now.
Borrowing that theme that we've
That's
got.
That's beautiful.
I have no idea how the rest of it goes.
That's right. You have been working very hard.
Working very hard.
You're at the top of your craft.
But now it's time
Fund the arts. Fund the arts.
Ouch, 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 ouch.
Ouch, I fell. Ouch, I fell.
I fell.
I fell down the stairs. Ouch, though.
Ouch, though, I fell.
Ouch, though. And that was best lighting design in the creative Emmys.
So glad they started televising those.
Yeah, yeah, they really got to. Those people work hard.
They work hard. They're the real craftspeople.
Show them all. They should show them all. It's not fair.
Remember when they tried to do some of them like from the audience? That was really terrible.
That's not fair.
I'll watch all 4 hours, and if you're not watching it, you're not watching it. It's not like people are like, the reason I'm not watching is because it's long. The reason people aren't watching is because they're like, I don't care.
Yes, 1,000%.
Yeah, the problem is not that it runs long.
Yeah.
If you have a problem with it, you have a problem with the
beginning.
The core,
yeah.
What it is.
Yeah.
And or its presentation, right? Like, if we knew... listen, here, let me offer one change.
Okay.
At some point during the awards ceremony, it's 4 hours long and we don't know when. But at some point, a live tiger is going to be released on the stage. Very different show.
Very
different. And people would be wrapping up their speeches.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, that's true.
Do you know when the tiger's coming out?
You don't know. When the tigers come on stage and they tear your world to thunder.
You say, why is this tiger here?
But he ripped your speech to shreds.
And the thing is, if you don't know... And if you don't know what One Day More is and someone starts doing that in the middle of an improv show, then you're like, don't know you're in a One Day More unless you're Brett, and then you're just sort of flying by the seat of your pants.
I knew that tune. I recognize that tune.
He slept a summer by my side.
He didn't teach me he's a tiger. There is that. There is, and the tigers come at night. That's what you were referencing. Okay, you're perfect. Great.
Yeah.
Yeah. It took me. I had to reverse engineer to where we were coming
yes.
from.
Yes. You know, that song also won someone the Academy Award.
Sure did.
Has any high school ever tried to put that show up?
Oh, yeah.
I did it.
Lots.
I did it,
real?
Too.
Mine yeah. and Dana's.
Wild.
Of the people in this room, 2 out of 5.
Yeah. It was like, it's like a school version.
They have a junior version.
Okay. But I played Pit for it, but...
I don't know that we did the junior version. We definitely did a truncated version.
Yeah, like, I think they cut, like, Lovely Lady... Or there's different lyrics to Lovely Ladies, and there might be, like, transposed Jean Valjean.
That makes... Well, although, Jean Valjean in high school is much easier to hit if you got someone who... Well,
it's
people's
still very hard to hit it with that
school.
Power.
I...
To do that in your Jean Valjean junior year?
In your Jean Valjean junior year.
I think we had a girl play Jean Valjean.
Hell yeah.
It is funny how some, like, Into the Woods Junior ends
at act one.
And it's
it's just done.
Everything's fine and things are good. We're not going to reflect on that. And it's just like...
That junior's a real, like, do it in middle school junior.
For sure.
Yeah.
That's when I think of, like, a junior, that's what I think of.
I think the Les Mis one is literally called, like, school version.
It's like, just to make it, like, a little bit shorter.
Shorter, not, like, a little, like... I once saw a touring production of Les Mis at the Orange County Performing Arts Center for the Arts. Orange County Performing Arts Center for the Arts. No. Orange County Performing Arts Center.
For the arts.
And like 2 days later, I was at Disneyland and I was like, oh, I think that's the guy who played Marius.
Whoa.
And I went up and I was like, hey, man, were you Marius?
And he was like, yeah, I'm a male ingenue.
And I was like, you're great. And he was like, thank you so much. And I was like,
you made his day.
To me, in that moment, I was like, oh, so big. And then you're like, yeah, that is a guy in like the second tier touring production. Like,
yeah.
I mean, all credit. He was really great. But
no,
like
touring productions are.
They are working.
They're working. Ooh. They're also wild. They're also often non-union in a way that is insane to me.
Yes.
Like Rent, a show that they know is going to sell out no matter where it goes, is a non-union tour.
Is every tier of the Rent tour? Because I feel like some of it has to do with the theaters that they play.
It could just be that, like, now, years after the fact, whoever is licensing the Rent, but, like, still.
I agree, but I mean...
SAG is all... No, it's not SAG. Equity is already a union that is, like, its members will tell you, wish had more teeth.
Yeah,
and just simply doesn't. I do like that the Equity website is just straight up, like, if you go there, one of the first pages is like, here's a list of everyone that's not doing equity shows. And it's just a list of all the current productions.
Oh wow.
It's just a way for people to get their points so then they can get their cards. That's why it's always like young. I mean, well, also it's like, if you're like 21 coming out of like school, you have like the like excitement and energy to be like, I'm gonna go on tour. They'd be on tour for like a zillion months and, you know, hop around, and then you get your points and then you can get your card and then you can go do.
Also, it's such a scam because like you would get points for doing a union tour. Like the tour doesn't have to be non-union.
But then they won't hire non-union people for the union shows. That's why it is a big scam. It's like, it sucks to feel like they like make people like pay their dues kind of, but it's bleh.
I mean, definitely before you're in the union, you are happy to do non-union work because you're happy for any credits.
For sure.
But yes, it is still exploitive. But also the good thing about being on tour is that those people are basically like saving just a ton of money.
Oh, yeah.
Because
if you found like a sublet or something.
I mean, which most people can because they're like in New York or they're in like a big city where that's like fairly easy. My friend was in the Wicked tour for like 2 years and she just like saved a bunch of money because you're just
it's like cruise lines.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And you get to be, I mean, you get to do some incredible shows and you get to be like the star.
Get to do one incredible show.
No, you get to change it every time.
Wow.
If you're doing a touring production and you're one of the leads, you actually get to choose what show.
That sounds great.
Yeah, you pick. You pick out of a hat.
Like some days you're like,
I thought I was going to see Lion King and it was not that.
Some days you're like, I'm going to do Lion King. Then you show up and they're like, we're doing Carousel today. And everyone's like, no, why?
It's Sunday. We're doing Sunday in the Park with George. I already told you all it's Sunday with Sunday in the Park with George. It's cute and it's fun.
That would actually be like an insanely awesome like Broadway show would be like
Broadway roulette.
Yeah, Broadway roulette where you have like the whole cast knows like the tracks for every single show.
Dana, I'll take that and I'll one up you. The cast doesn't know the tracks for the show, but they are vaguely familiar with how the show goes.
There are like 100 heroic. There are like a few swings listening to this and being like, don't you dare.
Yeah, like don't. Did everyone see the Hugh Jackman swing video?
Yes. Like made me cry.
And you've talked about it to me, but for those who don't know, I think it is a story that is relevant to this podcast. It's Hugh Jackman for...
Music Man?
No, I'm thinking of something else.
Are you thinking about the Greatest Showman video?
Yes. What are you talking about?
A video went viral over like the holidays because of like Hugh Jackman like brought like an understudy had to come in with very, very little notice in the Music Man. And he was like giving her props of like this. She found out like a few hours ago and then he like turns to and he has all the swings come forward. And he's like, this is one of the hardest jobs in the world. And like they have to know so many things.
It's insane how much they have to know. And especially really, right now, since they're all being pushed to like the absolute limit.
Yes. Yeah.
It's being a swing is like the craziest thing on earth. It's scarier to me than being like a standby. Because if you're a standby, like for like Elphaba, for example, like or Glinda, they have standbys that like that's all they know is like that role, and they just chill out in the in the dressing room until like someone, God forbid, like hurts themselves, and then they have to like go on as that.
I did read a story very recently, like last month or so, about an Elphaba who had been like the longtime standby for Elphaba, but hadn't performed in 5 years.
Yeah,
and then was just like called in and ended up doing it.
Yeah.
And
yes.
Like,
was that the woman who like literally quit? She like, not like quit like in a negative way.
But she left theater to go like be a coder, which is
yeah, she was
awesome.
Like a coder. Yes.
So
yes.
Cool.
So it's
cool.
So cool. They were like, hello, come in.
It's
now.
Also such a badass flex to be like, hold on, I just gotta go do Wicked really quick on Broadway.
Yeah,
I gotta
Can we just
go
drop
back
into Broadway real quick and do Wicked, and
back.
Then I'll be back coding tomorrow.
The Hugh Jackman Greatest Showman story, I'm sure you all know. If you don't, you can look up the video. Hugh Jackman must sing. Hugh Jackman was doing like a reading of The Greatest Showman to help get it greenlit or like move along the production or whatever. And so it was like this performative reading that was like trying to make everyone at Fox excited about the movie. And then like 2 days before, he got surgery on his nose and his doctor was like, you cannot sing. And he was just like, okay, interesting. So then they get Jeremy Jordan to come in to sing all of his parts for him. and he's just going to stand there and like emote. And then when it gets to the final song, Hugh Jackman must sing. And it's an incredible video where like then you watch everybody reacting to like, oh, oh, is this happening? And he starts out like slow, like from now on.
Yeah.
And he's just like pointing at everyone like, I gotta bring it home with this song. It's
great. They should have added that storyline like into the movie.
Yeah.
That, like the character like hurts his nose.
His eyes will not be blinded by the light.
Gets kicked in the nose by an elephant.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Or by like, I don't know, like Zendaya like swinging around on like a rope. She's in it, right?
Yes, yes.
Okay, it's got like they swing around on a rope and yes, they sing.
They do.
They do.
Famously.
I'm just saying.
A trapeze.
They do.
They are like belting on a trapeze.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
It makes no sense, but I like love that movie so much.
What? I love it too. Yeah. Do like you know that song from The Greatest Showman?
Oh, you're doing a funny thing where you
I'm
haven't seen it.
I'm doing a funny thing. No, I'm hoping I'll...
I love that thing you're talking about, and I've seen it. Oh, what? Sorry. I have read it. Oh, sorry. I have heard it too.
We are the same in our taste. I love that book, the audiobook only. Okay. We agree.
I've seen, heard that thing. I love it too.
I remember all the parts. I can say the words by heart. Oh, right, there's no words in it. That's a thing that I.
Limited series that's set in the Gilded Age. Yes, I like it. It's on HBO.
It
time.
Has incredible Meryl Streep, Claire Danes. It's Claire Danes is just so brilliant in that HBO. Oh, Max, only on Max, okay. Limited series in space, of course.
But the Gilded Age of Space. Ah, interesting how they did that. It's one of the best things I've seen, and I am with you.
I love that show. I love that show. All the facts about it, they are facts I know. That you were playing. Oh, yes, I know that song.
Oh, yes, I can sing. I can sing along. It's the one that goes, hey, hey, I wish that I had more time.
I wish I had more time. Right, time in a bottle. Yes, that's what I was gonna say.
And it's by Phoebe Bridgers, Japanese breakfast.
Right, yes.
Yes, and I.
It's a cover, yes, I knew it was a cover.
Of a band from the 60s,
70s, 1965. Right, that's okay. I love that song, you know, they played it at my wedding.
Oh, yeah,
it was. I asked for it at my wedding. That's how much I like this song.
I love this. Yes, I've played that game.
Oh, yes, the board game. The collaborative strategy.
Strategy.
About the sick, yes, the sickness.
Yes, the one where you work as a team.
Right, like sometimes you're a fire, a doctor.
And
why would it be a fireman? I'm a doctor.
And it changes as you play. I've played that game.
Pandemic, yes, it's called Pandemic, right.
Yeah,
Legacy, Pandemic Legacy.
Yeah.
Right, Pandemic Gold, yes, Pandemic Legacy Gold Edition.
Yeah, 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 I played that.
Yes, I love it. I play it for an evening, a series of a month.
Yeah.
It's a long game.
You get a couple cracks at each month. That's right.
Now, in terms of things whose branding really bit them in the butt over the last couple years.
The game Pandemic.
The beer Corona.
The airline Delta.
The airline Delta.
The band ISIS.
The band ISIS.
Yeah.
And my parakeet Omicron. I just thought it was a cute name for a parakeet.
Oh, that makes it sound like you have two keets.
Yeah, parakeets.
Oh,
that's what we in the bird biz call them. You raise keets?
Oh, yeah. I was thinking of the poet. What if there were two of him?
Two Keats. What's his first name?
Couldn't tell you.
Johnny Keats.
Johnny Keats.
Johnny Keats. Room,
burning ring of poems. I wrote the poems and I threw them in a fire. Now I'm gonna.
I wrote some words today.
To see if I knew how.
You know, it's a great piece of art.
Hmm.
The trailer for Logan.
Wow.
What?
I feel
it's a great
like
trailer.
This is not our take, but there is something so funny to me about the continued trend of taking songs and making them like slow and soft and trying. It's like.
Brett hates that.
It's so funny
in the
though.
Best way.
Like it was so crazy, right? What did they do for? Was it Twilight? Was like, am I feeling so crazy right now?
It was for 50 Shades of Grey.
Yes, 50 Shades of Grey.
Yeah. It's like burned into my brain.
It's so funny. But there's got to be songs that like
looking so crazy, your love's got me looking, got me.
Can we do the minor version of? Sorry, Scott, you know my favorite Vanessa Carlton song. That's.
Whoa.
It would be like, and also slow, right? So, making my way downtown, wandering fast. Pieces past, and I'm homebound. Coming this summer.
Yeah. Staring right behind.
Blankly ahead. Making my way through the ghosts. They don't change the words, they should. And if I see ghosts.
If I could fall into the
one woman falls further
sky.
Through a portal to the sky than ever before.
Do you think time would pass me by?
Pass me by Lionsgate Studios. Right?
Florence Pugh falls into space sky.
To deal with the ghost of her past.
She's great.
And also a ghost. She's great.
Give it up for Florence Pugh.
Give it up. Everyone in right now.
Give it up
for Florence Pugh.
Pick it up. Ba ba da ba ba. Florence Pugh. Can we play a ska song about Florence Pugh?
Yeah, it's probably our last one, right?
Yeah.
Ever.
Ever. Hey, real quick, circle back. Did you watch the new Boba Fett?
I haven't seen it. I will, but I haven't caught up yet.
Okay.
We'll save it for next pod. Oh, wait. We promised we do a lullaby at the end.
Oh, great. We'll do this really quick.
Yeah, quick ska.
Really quick ska. Pick it up. Like, literally, guys, pick it up.
Dana, play trumpet on this one.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to play trumpet.
Oh, I don't know if it's a minute, even little old women.
made a bad choice. Yeah. I know I told you to do it.
It's just you and the vocals are not mixed.
But we actually do. We do need drums.
I don't want to say yes, no, but like
yes,
Dana, thank you so much. Never, do, but no.
But it's your vocals are not mixed to.
It's not your fault.
Vocals aren't mixed to for me sounding like an insanely horrible trumpet.
I can't believe. Like, thank you so much that you do, for doing it, and now, Brett, one more time. So, Sleepy Babies, thank you so much for joining us on this, another episode of Off Book, the Improvised Musical Podcast
with Zach and Jess. That one, Zach Reno.
That was Jess McKenna. We got Scott Passarella, king of pianists, pianist of king.
Give it up for Brett Morris, that feeling when the chord hits. Ooh.
Give it up for Dana Wickens on the stickens, the boom in the other room.
Sometimes a trumpet.
The trumpet when we say.
She wasn't mixed for it.
Yeah, the trumpet is not mixed for it. We'll do a lullaby based off of me reading the last half of a question that I can see from here. What happened to Karate Bird? Karate Bird's training. Karate Bird's always training.
Yeah.
This won't be exactly about Karate Bird, but this one will be inspired by.
Great.
Something.
Sure.
This is a lullaby.
The sun is wandering down beneath the hill. So take your time now, close your eyes and be still. The moon is creeping about and peeking out from a cloud. So close your eyes.
And they tuck you.
you in tight, and they wrap your sides next to your hands. And if you are sleep training, good luck. If you are sleep training, good luck. Just stare at the mobile above you with birds, the goose and the cardinal and duck. And if you are sleep training, good luck and good night and good.